Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben.
Get to that in a second, presented by Breaks Plus, but That stretch that I was just talking about where the Cowboys desperately trying to make the playoffs and they finished up the season, what was it, 4, but the key games down the stretch, they went 3-4, those 7 games I was talking about. He had a combined 26 catches on 17, 19, 27, 37, 38, 40, 48 targets. It wasn't like, you know, They weren't throwing the ball to him. He just didn't produce. He didn't get open. He didn't produce.
Right.
And look, you're telling me they're not trying to throw the ball. And the other thing too, if you're paying Amari Cooper, you get Amari Cooper, you're going to have to pay big money, right?
Yeah.
Big money in free agency for Amari Cooper. I'm sorry. I think we learned all we needed to know about his big game, big time. Is he worth that kind of a contract status when he went up against Stephon Gilmore and got shut out?
Yeah.
Shut out. 0 catches, 2 targets, 0 yards. Goose eggs all across the board. He got stuffed. And that's the guy that you want to go out and throw millions and millions of dollars at a time where,
right,
by the way, everybody's saying this is the deepest deepest wide receiver class we've seen in the draft in a long, long time. And also some intriguing other free agent receivers out there, like a Robbie Anderson, you know, like, who's the guy that's up on our board there?
Rashard Perriman.
Rashard Perriman. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I just look at, like, if I'm just going AFC North, AJ Green, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Jarvis Landry, and Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, I don't like Odell Beckham Jr., but you can't argue his talent. He's better. Houston, right? In Houston with DeAndre Hopkins. In Kansas City, Hill. Hey man, forget about, you want to talk about a better receiver? How about the guy in with the Chargers? Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a better receiver. Philadelphia, no. Chicago, I like the cat they have in Chicago. What's it? Allen Robinson's a good player. Detroit has Galladay is a really nice player. Come on, in Green Bay,
oh,
Devontae, yeah,
please,
Adams,
not even close.
It's not even close. In Minnesota, both. I mean, both with Thielen and Diggs.
You'd rather
better.
Have, and you said the other day you want nothing to do with Diggs because you think he's a head case, but you still think he's a better receiver than Cooper, right?
Right. Okay. Atlanta with Julio Jones, Michael Thomas in New Orleans. Hey, both Chris Godwin and Mike Evans in Tampa. Come on, Give me a break. So,
here's all you need to know about Amari Cooper, and boy, he's got his fans out there, but in a game that they had to have, the Philadelphia game for the division,
right?
Second to last week of the season, the game they had to have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is
against Philadelphia, who can't cover anybody,
right? This is nut cutting time. Here we go, right?
Yeah.
Here we go. Best players, biggest players, they step up. He had 12 targets in that game. I mean, they did everything they could to get him the ball.
Push him the ball.
12 targets. 4 catches, 24 yards, no touchdowns.
Wah, wah, wah.
Case closed.
Wah.
Case closed.
All right.
So we look at somebody else. And to this person who said, hey, you know, they need somebody else to open up space for Courtland Sutton. They do.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's arguing with you. Nobody's sitting here saying they're stocked right now at the wide receiver position. In my opinion, I think they only got one guy. I think they have one guy right now. Don't give me Tim Patrick. Don't give me Deshaun Hamilton. You're looking at those guys are 4s and 5s. If you're looking at having 5 receivers on your team, those are your 4 and 5 guys. You need a 2. You need a 3. And yeah, they need to go out and get those guys, but you don't need to overpay Amari Cooper for it.
Agree. I've never heard one time, and maybe, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. I've never heard one time anybody on any broadcast or anybody that's an analyst or anybody that I've talked to in the football circles that I live in ever say, man, you really got to be concerned about Amari Cooper running by you. Have you ever heard that about, have you ever heard that explanation? And I have no idea what he ran at the combine, but I've never heard anybody talk about, hey, you can't cover Amari Cooper. He can run by you. I've heard it a million times about, you know, Tyreek Hill. I've heard it a million times about Julio Jones. I've heard it a million times about, you know, Hopkins. And I've never heard anybody talk about Amari Cooper that way. I don't know what his 40 time was. Can we get some efforting music? Can you give me a...
Well, I got to do question mark first, presented by Breaks Plus.
All right. Okay. You know what? While you do that, I'll look up Amari Cooper's 40 time.
Yeah, but the question's for you.
Oh, yeah.
Question mark.
Okay, so you question me.
Right.
And then you look it up.
Look up Amari Cooper's 40 time?
Yeah.
I will do that.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Good. The question. All right. So the question is, it comes in from Jerry. I wonder if it's that Jerry.
Jerry. Yeah.
Mark, in your opinion,
the question is, okay, wise guy Mark, what is your answer for how the Broncos address their need for a receiver?
Okay. Well, I think it's quite simple.
Clearly a butthurt Amari Cooper fan, right?
Right. I think it's quite simple. You go out and get yourself a guy that can lift the top of coverage, a guy that can flat run to take... You know, take that to create that aspect of your football team. So you go out and get yourself a Breshad Perriman. You go out and get yourself a Robbie Anderson. You go out and get yourself one of those guys. And then, like, there's always going to be quarterbacks that get pushed up in the first round. It's always going to happen, right? There's going to be some players that get pushed up. This is one of the deepest wide receiver drafts in all of in the history of the NFL. So you don't think there's going to be guys that drop to the bottom of the first round that you can climb back up in with 12 picks and grab yourself one of those receivers? Of course you can. I mean, that to me, again, I'm building a team from the inside out because it's what I believe in. And I know ultimately it's what wins in this league. And I'm worried about what wins in this league. But come on, some of the receivers that have, hey, you know what? Tennessee a couple of years took Corey Davis in the first round. Right? I think 17th, I can't remember. No, he's like the fifth pick or sixth pick. You know who's a better player for them? The rookie they took last year in the second round in A.J. Brown. Right? I mean, the league is littered with guys who are great players that are second and third rounders at that position. If it's that deep, if it is that deep a draft, Go grab yourself some speed in the free agent market and then go grab yourself a polished like guy that can come right in and play slot or can come right in and be a prominent player in your system as a rookie. Remember, most rookies, and this is most, hey, Hollywood Brown, where was Hollywood Brown for the Baltimore Ravens? Was he drafted in the first round last year? Because he was awesome last year. Hold on for a second. I'll get that right now.
By the way, he
was
Cooper,
a first rounder.
Cooper ran a 4.4, although there was some controversy that some scouts had him running in the 4.3s, but the official NFL combine time was a 4.42.
4.42. So he still got really good speed.
Oh, really good speed, yeah.
But again, I'm just telling you that there's some guys that run really fast in shorts and a t-shirt that don't seem to run as fast on a football field. But the bottom line is, he's been wildly inconsistent.
Go so ahead. I hate to embarrass a listener or anything like that.
Yeah,
right?
You would never do that.
I would never do that.
Not
I mean,
purposely.
I mean, they come after us all the time, mm-hmm. but, you know, we can't go after them, right?
Right.
What happened? So who was the receiver that the Broncos played against? Who got his chain ripped off a couple times?
Oh yeah, it was the Crabtree.
Right.
Crabtree.
Right. Michael Crabtree. Everybody knows that, right?
Yeah.
So this guy says, real Bronco fans don't want Amari Cooper. That's the guy that got his chain ripped off. Real Bronco fan, huh?
Yeah.
Real Bronco fan. Yeah.
Embarrassing.
I'm a real Bronco fan. I like going to games and watching them score touchdowns. I'm a real fan.
Yeah. Right there just tells me that you've never been to a Bronco game because they don't score touchdowns.
Wow, that's a good point. Good point.
So right there, I mean, you just exposed yourself. Love going and watch him score those touchdowns. Kicking those punts.
No.
The King is here.
Bad upset texter. You guys get all the answers. Two thumbs up. That was delivered with sarcasm.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, Geronimo Allison is a free agent. That is an ultimate dude name.
Geronimo Allison?
From the Packers?
Yeah.
Ultimate dudes.
That is an ultimate dude name.
Think John Elway thinks ultimate dudes when he drafts guys? Is he looking for ultimate dudes?
It's a good question.
No.
Maybe he should.
Geronimo Allison had 34 catches for 287 yards and two touchdowns this year. On a team that was desperately looking for another receiver to go alongside Devontae Adams. So,
yeah.
Now I think I'll stay away from him.
Yeah, I agree with you. And yes, we do have all the answers.
Yeah, well, of course we do.
It's easy to have the answers when you sit right here.
Good job by the texter. He wrote back. He said, ha ha, you got me.
Right. Yeah. Oops.
Yeah. Oops. I'll own that one. Good. Yeah. All right. That's good. I respect that. I respect that. That's a whole milk touch
right
there.
That's right.
Come back on. You're right. My bad.
Most guys would just stomp back. Most guys texting at 8 o'clock would just stomp back down to their parents' basement, all upset and not put their phone away, start playing Fortnite. Is Fortnite what kids play nowadays? Is that what they?
Yeah, they're still playing it.
Okay. What's that guy with the blue hairs?
Ninja.
Is that what he plays, Fortnite?
Yes.
Ninja.
He's done very well.
Yeah, yes.
Yep. And Garrett in Denver. That Bronco fan, in quotes, just embarrassed all real Bronco fans.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett, I put all my arms and legs into and let him trust.
You don't think.
No.
Well. You don't think. No.
Let me, we have the ability to respond to these texters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to respond here.
Yeah, how you gonna?
I'm going to say, hey, Garrett.
Is your last name Bowles?
Hey, Garrett. How do you feel about the Broncos going after a left tackle? ?
Mm-hmm.
Send.
Mm.
I eagerly await his response.
Maybe you should text him and say, how do you feel about referees ganging up on left tackles?
Ooh. Or do you feel left tackles in the NFL are ganged up upon?
Mm-hmm. Question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and do you have any specific examples of those being targeted? Get down to the bottom of this quick.
I'll tell you, anybody who's watched football for an extended amount of time, can you honestly ever recall in all your years of work, is it just me, or can you ever remember the sense of dread and then reaction throughout an entire stadium whenever an official would stand up and say, holding offense, and then number 72.
Mm.
And then the reaction. I can't recall ever people at a football game being so in tune.
Right.
Almost dreading with anticipation.
Yeah, you know it's going
to
happen.
What the ref is about to say, and then when he says it, that just collective, Grown. Have you? I've never seen it. I've never seen it.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. I actually talked to a ref, said we felt so bad that we actually threw the flag and called the wrong number on purpose.
No way.
Yes.
No. So they called holding. They saw holding on Garrett Bowles.
Yes.
But they called it on another
yes.
player just to not embarrass
he'd already had
Bowles.
He already had five.
So in the Chicago game.
Yeah.
They called another one, and they purposely gave it to another guy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oof. Dude, come on. I mean, at some point, you're just like, the natives are getting restless in the stands. Like, it's bad.
What do the refs care? At that moment, they had sympathy for Garrett Bowles.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Sure.
Holy smokes. I'm gobsmacked. I'm stunned at that one. They literally called it on another guy just to save him from more embarrassment.
From the sixth or seventh, whatever it was.
Wow. Yeah. Come on, guys. A real Bronco fan knows that Amari Cooper was knocked out by Steve Atwater on Monday Night Football.
That's a good point. That is a good point. This is like our own game of.
This is like our own game of.
Oh, really?
Here they come.
Right.
I guarantee you. Here we go. Ronaldslot.com text line, everybody. 303-713-1043.
I like that.
I like that.
So take an iconic moment.
Right.
In Broncos history.
Right. Just exchange Amari Cooper for it.
Yeah, and exchange Amari Cooper for it. So everybody knows that Raheem Moore actually played the ball wrong when Amari Cooper caught that long one for Baltimore, right? That's how the game's played, correct?
Yeah.
All right.
You know what? Now I'm starting to remember that. I think it was Ron Leary got called. I remember watching the game, and I remember going, oh, that was on Bowles, but they called it on Leary.
Yep.
Wow.
You know the exact play I'm talking about.
I do.
Yes.
Wow.
Felt so bad for him, they called out the wrong number.
On purpose. It's like they gathered in a little hut and said, guys, it was 72 again. We can't call him again. Like, give it to Larry.
They probably had already talked about it. If we get another one, throw the flag and just call the wrong number. I think he had five that were called and a couple that weren't accepted, or four that were called and a couple that weren't accepted. Like there was six or, I mean, I called the game. The other thing was Leno on the other side who also wore 72, had like three holding calls.
Yes.
At one point I said on the broadcast, I was like, if I wore 72 right now, I'd go in and change my jersey, get a different number, like scrap pile this damn thing.
That's right. So yes, I do remember. I totally remember the play now.
Yeah.
Cause I remember like watching it, making a note going, why'd they give that to Leary?
Right.
With Bowles?
Right. He tackled the guy. I mean, literally it was a form tackle.
Wow.
Yeah. There it is.
Guys, come on. Don't you remember? It was the Amari Cooper helicopter play.
Now see, are you trying to get me?
No, I know.
Yeah, because you're not using it right.
I know.
The market has to play for a different team.
I know.
Right.
I know. Okay. I know.
So you could have said it was Amari Cooper.
Yeah, but no, Amari Cooper catching the pass over Raheem Moore. That's how that fits.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I know.
You could say Amari Cooper hit John Elway that created the helicopter play, but those guys that hit him are all innocuous. Nobody can remember who those guys are.
Here's another bonus question, Mark.
All right.
Mark, what do you feel about trading for the guy who just got busted with 157 pounds of weed? Isn't that an ultimate dude?
It depends. Was it medicinal weed? I mean, was Is he a caretaker? Right?
Just trying to help people out?
Greg Robinson. 150. First off, he was a second overall pick that has really been a bust. Just really been a bust. Big physical cat.
Yep.
But has never really played. He actually, 2 years ago for Cleveland, he actually played decent football. But, now I can see why the physicality, the play doesn't match the physicality. The guy's made $29 million since he was drafted like 7 years ago, and you got 157 pounds of weed that you're taking from.
All right, all joking aside, somebody, you know, you talk about the classic case of the draft where people ignore all these potential red flags and just bank on the talent with the understanding that once we get them in here, it'll be different.
Right.
But isn't this one of the potential pitfalls of the Broncos coaches not going to the combine? I get it. The whole underwear Olympics thing, that is overrated. But you do get a chance to talk to these guys. And perhaps in a way that's a little bit more informal than when you set up an official team visit with these guys prior to the draft. And they come in and they have been coached on what to say, give the stock answers, all that. But I would think that especially if you're getting ready to spend millions of dollars and use a high pick on a guy, you got to be able to exhaust every opportunity to find out who this guy is. And is that an opportunity that is being passed up upon by not going to the combine?
Possibly. I really wasn't listening because I was thinking the whole time that you were talking, like, how long can we get a stoner to text us? How long would it take to smoke 157 pounds
a week? Okay, the show has a final reached that point.
I went to school with a guy, Larry Lum.
Larry Lum.
That's not his real name. We just call him Larry Lum. That dude could smoke some weed. I just wonder how long it would take him to get through a bale of 157 pounds. That's like two hay bales, right? We used to have 80-pound hay bales when I was, you know, when we had horses growing up. So I'd be slinging 80-pound
hay bales. That's two.
That's two 80-pound hay bales. Bales of hay. Two of them. So I'm thinking to myself, how long would it take you to smoke that much weed? Exactly. And how many bags of Doritos would you eat?
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine?
What would be the ratio of Hot Pockets eaten to pounds smoked?
That's a lot of Hot Pockets.
Right.
What?
Do people still eat Hot Pockets?
They should.
Hot Pockets.
I love Hot Pockets.
The ham and cheese.
Oh,
yes.
The pepperoni ones.
Oh.
Oh,
girl.
Oh, the meatballs. So anyhow, RamosLaw.com text line. How long would it take you to smoke 152 hay bales worth of
this
weed?
Is the perfect hour, by the way, to ask this question.
Mm-hmm. Right. As you know, there's some stoner that the mom has made him get up, come up from the basement to put in some resumes, right? Look for a job, search for a job on the interwebs.
Take it easy on that cigar, boy.
Yeah.
I like this. 157 pounds of weed would take a solid month. Got a government job, can't leave my name.
You could smoke 100 in a month?
One person? No.
There's no, I can't imagine.
No?
That's 24 hours,
I don't think that's possible.
That's a lot of 157 pounds.
All right. We got smart people out there. Do the math for us, please.
Yeah. You can't smoke 5 pounds of weed in a day. Could you? No.
No, you'd forget what you're doing and just fall asleep.
I don't know.
I don't know either. It's a lot of weed.
We took a weird turn in this segment, didn't we?
We did take a weird, strange turn.
How'd that work out?
I don't know how we got to that.
Yeah, but
Larry Lum, give me a call.
We're in.
You're listening.
We're in it now.
Larry Lum would know.
If you smoked an ounce a day, it would take 6.8 years.
See, I don't know what an ounce is.
And that's
is.
A lot.
But I don't
that's
know.
That's a lot.
Oh, really, Duff?
Yes, it is. I know. It's a lot. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Back in the days where you had that foot problem.
Right. Where you were suffering hey. With temporary glaucoma.
I got a card. I did. Anyway.
Get your facts
Anywho.
Right.
All right.
I literally did the air quotes right
I
there.
Did too.
When you had your foot problem.
Right.
When I go to the doctor and he's like, I had my medical chart ready to go to hand to him and he's just like, you look like you're pretty messed up. I'll go ahead and, cause I'm like all prepared. I'm like, well, this happened and blah, blah, blah. He's like, nah, you're good, man.
You went to Stoner Dog?
All right. Yeah, that's how you got your card.
Hey, man.
And he's wearing a hoodie. And jeans.
A hoodie and jeans.
He didn't even have the smock thing on?
No, he didn't even try to pretend he was a doctor. He's like, man, you're pretty messed up. I got you. Anyway, I was like, do I need to go anywhere else? Do I need to file something with the state? And he's like, nah. You can use it now. I'm a doctor, bro. All right.
Well, thank you, doctor. All right.
Gracious.
On that note, we move on. Is it just me, Friday, giving you a chance to get hot sports opinions off your chest. We got a bunch of them. We'll get to all of them next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.
I love our texters. They are. They're better than Google. They have answers.
Yeah, they do.
They have the answers. They have the solutions.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you to them.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, thank you to the drive, the Dipnets.
Mm-hmm. The Dipnet.
For comparing us to Gilligan's Island. Because we did our free agent
to-dude list.
Yeah. Separate from theirs.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, oh, they're on their own island. And
right.
They're yes, Gilligan. They're yeah. Gilligan's Island. I'm honored.
Yeah. We are. We're not. We're
I got
not
compared to Gilligan. You got compared to the skipper.
Yeah.
The Huff was Thurston Howell.
Thurston Howell.
Millennial Ben was the professor.
Professor.
So I'm good with that.
Yeah. Well, that was great.
I'm fine with that. Thank you, guys. We're not hurt.
You know, it's funny how much grief I got for Jack Conklin. Because mm-hmm. we've already spent money at the right tackle position that played 30 snaps. So you can't, you know, I'm like, no, you go out and get it right. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And Jack Conklin can play. We've had a void over there at right tackle for how many years? Mike, I mean, anyhow. So, the last Pro Bowl offensive lineman the Broncos have played. Voted in Pro Bowl, not replacement guy, right?
Right.
The last one was Ryan Clady in 2014.
Which, for all the talk about failure to identify a quarterback since Peyton. That gets all the attention, but and it should. I mean, it's still Exhibit A in what the Broncos have done poorly over the last handful of years. Mm-hmm. But their shocking inability to figure out the offensive line, considering how many resources and assets that they've thrown at it, is right behind it, Exhibit B, as staggering that they have not been able to figure out the offensive line.
Yeah.
Which is even more amazing to me because the guy making all the decisions is a former quarterback. who played behind a great offensive line. So if anybody should know the qualities, the characteristics that go into a great quarterback and a great offensive line, it's John Elway. And yet he has failed spectacularly in both areas.
Where he's had his most success, and I think it was maybe Chad Brown that I heard this from first, and I immediately adopted it as my own, but I'm going to give some credit.
Oh, you mentioned him.
Yeah. Is that you spent 17 years studying the defense. Like the defense, is, so you know, like that part is something that you know, like the back of your hand. You watch defensive players, you're like, oh, that dude can play. Oh, that guy's got great, you know, range. Oh, that guy's. So you spend so much of your life as a football player studying that part of the game that that becomes easier to pick the guys in the draft that you think defensively are difference makers.
Hmm, okay.
And I thought, you know, I thought.
So what would be, if you're looking for the ultimate quarterback / offensive line evaluator, which member of the defense would you most want to pick the brain of?
Well, that's a good question. I would want to talk to obviously guys like the middle linebacker type guys, defensive tackle type guys, guys that study that stuff. Like individual pass rushers are usually more about themselves than they are about the opponent.
Well, you said they're the dumbest people on a football team.
Well,
all they have to do is put their finger in the dirt.
There are those guys, yeah. There are those guys that are just so gifted out there that they don't really understand. Like,
right.
I don't know. Like, there's a few of those guys, but guys that really have to grind. Although I always, you know, as a player, I always studied other players at my position. The good players. I always looked at the good players to try to steal whatever I could steal from their games. Especially when I was playing against a really good defensive lineman. I'd spend a ton of time before I studied the defensive lineman studying how other people played that particular guy. So there were times where I'd be playing, let's call it, you know, Warren Sapp. I'd say, hey, didn't Bruce Matthews play him like 3 years ago? 2 years ago? Yeah, give me that film. And didn't Wisniewski? What about Reuben Brown? Give me those films and let me look at the, and so I'd be studying the way they played Warren Sapp from two seasons ago. So I would try to say, okay, this is something I see that I really like, something that I can do. Now there's some things you can't do. Like you can never study Randall McDaniel, for instance. So Randall McDaniel was the freak of all freak shows. That hockey stick leg out there, the left leg. I mean, there's no way you could replicate anything he could do because he was that big of a freak. So, you know, I would scrap pile that film because it's useless to me. But I would go back and look at those guys, and then I'd say, okay, I've got a couple of things that I've taken from their game in studying them playing that particular guy. And so I would do, and then I'd go back to my normal film study of, all right, now let me see this guy the last four games.
So is John Elway the last guy that should be weighing in on who to draft as a quarterback?
No, you should.
Or an offensive lineman?
Like, you should know, like, no, I mean, you've got to be, if you don't know, you gotta study and you gotta be versed at it. So,
But based on the struggles that they've had both finding quarterbacks and offensive linemen, is he talking to enough defensive linemen, enough middle linebackers, enough safeties?
That I can't tell you. And the other thing, I mean, I don't know. The fact that, you know, are you spending enough time with the players that you're about to draft, really understanding who those guys are? As dudes, what is their knowledge base? How much, like, I know when I got drafted, there was two teams that were really on me from a draft standpoint. And it was the Bengals and it was the Redskins. Now, I worked out for a bunch of teams, but those are the two teams that came back just to individually work me out. And I spent time with both their offensive line coaches like really them digging into me as a player, studying my film, and then sitting back and talking to me about, you know, what do you like? What, you know, what, like just about football in general, like making sure that I could answer football, like I knew that, making sure I knew football. And, you know, I think one of the things that was an advantage for me coming out was that I played defense my first 3 years in college football. So I understood, like I understood kind of more in totality of what was going on. So I think I answered the questions pretty effectively.
Yes. I got a double tease here coming up.
Okay.
First of all, did we get a major hint as to the direction the Broncos are going at a key position at the CU basketball game of all places last night? And get ready for one of the great movie clips of all time that has added significance with what's going on this weekend. All that next.
You got a problem, man. I got a lot of problems, so what?
You can't hold your mud. You're a bleeder, and I like to see blood.
Hey, how about your arm?
60 seconds on the mat, and you're dog meat.
Oh, I get chilled. That is a... I get my...
Put a little lunatic fringe in the background.
Man. I tell you what, my bride is... heading out of town here next week to go see the daughters. Vision Quest is going to be, that may be the first movie I watch.
Well, we bring it up because congratulations to in advance and good luck to all of the wrestlers taking part in the state wrestling championships over at the Pepsi Center, which kicked off. Chassa sent out a tweet yesterday about it, and I immediately retweeted saying, you need to get Alaska State Champion heavyweight wrestler Mark Schlereth there as some sort of like honorary referee or something like that. In fact, one of our great listeners went and dug and sent it to us. I am holding in my hands the official results of the 1983-84 Alaska State Wrestling Championships.
Okay.
The overall team winner was Service High School.
That's right.
Your high school.
Mighty Cougars, people. The mighty, mighty Cougars.
The heavyweight champion.
Yes.
1983-84 from Service High School, Mark Schlereth.
Yes.
In fact, you weren't aware of this until this morning.
I was not.
You were named, along with Eric Holta from West, the outstanding wrestlers of the tournament.
Who knew?
Who knew?
I had no idea. I don't think I have, maybe the trophy got lost in the mail. Did I get a trophy for that? I don't know.
Remember any of these names? Our 91-pound champion, Tom Huffer from
Chugiak.
Chugiak.
His dad was a football coach, Tom Huffer Sr.
177-pound champion was James Jinks from Chugiak.
James Jinks, wow.
Now, this is awesome. This is why I have to go to Alaska and just see it all for real. The 167-pound champion and the 155-pound champion, John Berg, Derek Chambers from North Pole High School.
North Pole.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Where'd you go to high school?
North Pole. North Pole. Boom. What do you want to do about it?
I mean, come on. How cool is that?
I believe that Santa was their coach. I'm not 100% sure. But I think Santa is a wrestler, and I think he coached those two young lads at North Pole High School.
He's got the frame for it, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it looked like that. I'm looking at all the...
How many service champions were there?
There was Greg Bieria.
Greg Bieria, yeah.
Was 132 pounds.
Uh-huh.
John Backus was the 145
Johnny pounds. Backus. Oh, yeah. Johnny Backus was no fish. That kid could wrestle.
And then the year before, 82-83, you weren't wrestling then?
Yeah, I wasn't good.
Okay.
Okay.
But you guys were the best team again.
Yeah. Look at all the...
And let's see, the 177-pound champion was Kyle Purnell.
155-pound
champion was Norman
Mazzaneri.
Mazzaneri, thank you. Boy, you guys dominated. 145 was Chris Kyrgios.
Chris Kyrgios, yep.
All right, I'm just going to give the first name. See if you give me the last name. All right, 138-pound champion was Larry
Zifke.
Oh, and then Bieria again.
Bieria again.
119.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, by the way.
You guys were dominant.
By the way, how many state champions was that the year before? Like
six. In 1982-83, there were one, two, three, four, five. Yeah, five state champions.
I think we had like 11 guys wrestle in the state finals. 5-1. So, I think there was a service guy in almost every, there's like 11 out of 13 weight classes that all had service guys, and then 5-1 state championships in, you know, and then sixth place second, something like that. I mean, it was crazy.
Anyway, good luck to all the grapplers this weekend, and I'm going to celebrate by watching Vision Quest for about the...
Well, you don't even have to watch Vision Quest, because I am going to perform...
What?
I am going to perform my signature move right after the show on Scott DeHuff. So we're going to go over under lateral drop. I'm going to try to be somewhat gentle because I don't want to break his hip, and then I'm going to slide right into the Saturday Night Ride. And it's gonna be a thing of beauty.
Wow. I can get workers' comp for that, right?
I believe. Well, only if you get seriously injured, which there is a good chance of you being seriously injured.
Dude, you were kind of demonstrating about an hour ago on me, and it actually kind of frightened me.
Yeah.
You are kind of a man.
let's see.
All right.
Aaron. Come on. Winning a state championship in Alaska is a joke. Try winning it in Iowa.
Really? Yeah, really? Who was that? Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how many state championships do you have in anything, Aaron? Ooh. Yeah. Let me show you a picture of my hand with three Super Bowl rings on it, Aaron.
Another one. Take it easy, Stink. It was Alaska. There were only five teams in the whole state.
That is not true. Do you know that my high school had over 3,000 people in it?
Okay. Another one. How can you go from no good to state champion in 1 year? Sounds fishy.
Well, I mean, there's...
You want a fish or you want to f*** around?
I wasn't.
Were they testing for PEDs back then?
No, stop it. Come on, I was in high school.
No, I saw you in high school. There were no artificial inflators with you.
Here's the deal.
Jeez.
Here's the deal. I was always a good football player. I wasn't a great wrestler. I wasn't committed to wrestling. As a matter of fact, I didn't even show up my junior year to wrestle. I quit. I hated wrestling. It was so hard. I hated it. And so I finally came back about halfway through the season my junior year because the coaches were so mad at me. So I wouldn't have qualified and I wasn't very good. And then I decided if I'm going to do this, I'm going to try to be really good at it. And of course I physically matured a little bit over a year as, you know, high school people tend to do.
Last point here for you.
Yeah.
Did you see last night at the CU game, Vic Fangio and Philip Lindsay were sitting next to each other. I mean,
it was a CU game.
Yeah, at the Hoops game.
Okay.
Does this mean they're best friends now? They like stepbrothers?
Right.
So,
do you think they built bunk beds?
I wonder. But are you convinced that Philip Lindsay being the number one back is absolutely the way to go, or should the Broncos in the draft, in free agency, look for more of a bell cow back?
I think that the Broncos need a back that is really versatile, that like can catch the ball out of the backfield exceptionally well, whether that's Philip Lindsay or whether that's somebody else. It hasn't been Philip Lindsay to this point. So, I think they need that, whether that's the bell cow, whether he's the bell cow or somebody. I don't really care. I just think they need a versatile player that is great in that third down, second down, a long situation, third down to be a viable option in the receiving game.
Texters came back to your support here.
Okay.
Here's the best one. Aaron, they didn't have grizzly bears in Iowa.
Boom, Aaron. And I used to hunt them naked with a switch.
Here, Barry, 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 Barry. Come on, Barry, 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 Barry. Ha! Over under lateral drop. Who? Saturday Night Ride. What you gonna do, Bear? What you gonna do?
Nothing. Get out of here. you little rascal.
Slap it on the butt.
Little scamp, get out of here. Come here, bear.
Let me give you a noogie.
Yeah. All right, congratulations. Good luck to all the wrestlers this weekend. And remember, one bit of advice. Hold your mud.
Hold your mud, people.
Hold your mud. All right, Sandy in Orlando, coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.